Hi, I'm Rachel Katz. It's a stressful time, including for those in the performing arts, as the COVID-19 coronavirus has forced the cancellation or postponement of many concerts, and in some cases, the entire rest of the season. But on a positive note, I've been finding many inspiring examples of how musicians are coming together to share their music. I've been reaching out to these musicians and ensembles about these projects, so stay with me for the next 5 minutes as we hear more about them on a positive note. Sea shanties and group singing have been part of the history of the South Street Seaport Museum for decades, and with all of us confined to our quarters now, so to speak, the museum has brought the experience online. The now monthly event takes place on Zoom, where anyone can sign up to lead a song, sing along, or simply sit back and enjoy the camaraderie. To add to the atmosphere, the museum has even provided some photos of its tall ship Waver Tree and black and white images of sailors you can use as your Zoom virtual background. The museum is also holding some other online events, including a webinar this Saturday afternoon on celestial navigation. Captain Jonathan Bulwer is president and CEO of the museum.
This goes back more than five decades. Actually, the sea music and shanties at the Seaport Museum go back to even before its founding. And in fact, right at that genesis moment in the 60s, Pete Seeger was singing on Pier 16 for what would eventually become the South Street Seaport Museum. Over the years, it became very focused on sea music, and sea music falls into a couple of categories, which we can talk about, but it's been on our ships, it's been on the piers, it's been on our buildings and galleries and in all kinds of locations throughout the museum, and so in some respects, moving it to a new location was fairly easy. The challenge is that some parts of this music are actually call and response. So what used to be an in-person thing with a kind of leader singing a line and the whole group roaring back the other part of it, that can't be done, because if you've ever tried to sing Happy Birthday on Zoom, you find that it breaks down pretty quickly. You know, we reference ourselves against other folks. So people sing in the quiet of their homes by themselves on mute, which is the difference. But there are other parts of this that are also really fun.
So describe then what an average session might be.
Well, I'm not sure there is average just yet. We've had one of these, and it was magnificent. One of the interesting and kind of unintended consequences of having this virtually is that people who live very far away, other parts of the country, other parts of the world, can tune in. So we had a combination of both shanties, which are the kind of work songs that sailors use. That's a kind of call and response work music that's intended to make an arduous and often tedious and long-lasting job go easier. And this was everything from kind of complaining about the ship's captain to singing about wives and sweethearts to ports that you've visited to all sorts of kinds of things, right? The other piece of this is sea music, sort of the music that could be balladic, it could be called folk music. It fits into lots of different categories, some of it from the Irish and English traditions, but also from all over the world. And the music itself is actually representative of the multinational crews that were existent on the sailing ships in which this work happened. So the shanties are the work music, and you would have, you know, Finns alongside English, alongside Maoris, and each of them brought their own musical traditions. So on the shanty side, there was a mix there, but on the balladic and sort of sea music tradition, it is this incredible multinational, multicultural body of work. And it spans Europe and the South Pacific, you know, the rest of the world. And pick a place, these sailing ships called there, and the music is represented. So on that side of it, what happened last time was we had just spectacular music being performed by people, sometimes rank amateurs having a great time and doing their best, and sometimes people who are professional who joined this to bring a particular song that they loved. And so for a couple of hours of a Sunday afternoon, we had a just absolute beautiful, not in person, but very intimate concert and sing-along. The rigger on one of the big sailing ship that we have at the Seaport Museum was on site. And then I took to the roof of the museum. So we had these two perspectives, one from onboard the ship and the other from the roof of the museum looking down on the ship. So we were able to be very respectful of social distancing, but at the same time allow people to kind of virtually visit the museum and, you know, see the weather as it was and the ship as she is, and something very evocative about bringing the ship into the thing.
Did you get a sense of a broader sense of the types of people that were involved, whether it was age or backgrounds, any sense as you were watching these people participate, what it represented?
It's it's really all over the spectrum. You know, again, people from different countries, from different parts of the U.S., of different ages, you know, genders represented. And the people who sang were on a spectrum from people who were skilled amateurs and skilled professionals to people who just had learned the songs and, you know, knew the joy of singing them and wanted, had something to offer. And so I think it's actually a really challenging thing to mix the kind of enthusiasm of a campfire sing with the kind of professional performance of someone who has trained to do what they do. But there was something very at ease, something very familiar about this environment that made that possible. And I found it to be entirely magical. And I don't know if it would have been possible in the same way had it been an in-person event. And so in some ways, the virtual presentation might have made it something that it couldn't have otherwise been. And I was delighted with it.
What is the appeal of sea shanties? I mean, it is something that so many people can relate to.
Well, I think, you know, I mentioned campfire a moment ago. I mean, I think there's a part of us, you know, that whether it's sort of on a level of awareness or just something visceral and kind of primal, is that we as people sing. We sing, you know, even if it's just happy birthday, but we have traditions of singing. And I think there's something, you know, certainly in this time right now and the challenges that we're all under, I think many people are reverting back to traditions of various types. So my hypothesis would be there's something comforting about this now, especially. But, you know, you're also asking why generally. I mean, there is a group of people who like to do this with regularity. And I think I personally would pin it on the overlap of a specific interest of a particular type of music and a particular, in particular, maritime styles of music. But it's also community. And, you know, in particular, in a place like New York, which can be a lonely city, community is hard to find. And when you find it, it can be really something wonderful to participate in. The shanty and sea music thing that we're doing, which is coming up, is one of a number of programs that we've done. And of course, you know, many organizations, many museums and many other kinds of organizations have moved to the virtual. And I honestly, you know, I was a little worried that some of the stuff that we do, which is so unusual, our museum is very tactile and very personal and very on site and very, you know, we sail ships in the river and do 19th century things in printing presses and on the water and in our buildings. And so how do you translate that to the virtual? But it turns out that we've actually got quite a lot to offer, and we've had a really great response. A couple of examples. One is, for folks who are interested, we're doing something called Seaport Museum at Home, which provides a bunch of different offerings. It comes out regularly and is part of our mailing list. So, you know, front of the paywall, you know, free to everyone, but join the mailing list and you can get Seaport Museum at Home, which is a kind of broad spectrum of things. And then the other type of stuff that we're doing is more sort of special interest, but fairly obscure kind of stuff and really, really interesting. So one example coming up, coming right up is actually we have one of our staff who is the rigger on the ship Wavertree, but also is a merchant sailor, is doing a kind of entry-level celestial navigation. So how do you navigate by the stars? How do you look up and figure out where they are? How do you use a sextant, which is the instrument used to measure the stars? How do you use the moon and how do you use the sun? What are the concepts behind when people didn't have electronics and how they were able to navigate across oceans? And so in a time when people may be looking out their window and skyward more often than they usually do, this is a pretty interesting topic.
You can find more information on this Saturday's Celestial Navigation webinar or the June 6th Shanty Sing at southstreetseaportmuseum.org. That's our positive note for today. Till next time, I'm Rachel Katz.